child or his protege in the faith. He writes how God is their father and how the faith has been passed to them through their ancestors. Paul further names Timothy's mother, Eunice, and grandmother, Lois, as the source of his sincere faith. All these family terms emphasize the importance of family in the birth, development, and nurturing of faith. I mentioned in my recent From the Pastor article in the October newsletter a book by Reverend W.A. Ziegler, a former pastor of this church. He relates a story about a man who tells him that Presbyterians are born, not made, a reference to Presbyterians as coming from families. While there is an element of truth to the statement, many Presbyterians come to the church having been raised in other churches. While we sometimes name our faith as Presbyterianism, it is much more than that. The faith that Paul speaks about to Timothy is much more than a denominational label or an adherence to a certain creed. It is a trust in God that is deep-seated in the heart. It is a common spirit that transcends belief, liturgy, practice, or ritual, and flows through the veins of all God's chosen children. As a church, we seek to pass the treasure of God's love and redeeming forgiveness to our children and to all who will listen. We believe that the message we call the gospel makes a difference in how we live. We love God who first loved us. We love our neighbors, broadly defined, because we believe that is how God wants us to return His love. We recognize this broad, nurturing love in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Just as we feed our family around the dinner table, God feeds His family around the communion table. That table is much broader than a piece of wood located at 607 Janeway. This table, located in this church and churches across the world, represent the family table set in heaven, where God's children will come from east and west, north and south, to sit together as one family. We recognize the broad reach of God's nurturing grace on this World Communion Sunday. We recognize God's inclusive reach by recognizing that the way we celebrate communion is not the only way. Whether the bread representing Jesus' body is unleavened or leavened, includes gluten or not, is made with whole wheat or rye, we all look to the same Lord and Savior. Whether the cup contains wine or grape juice, we all proclaim the saving blood of Jesus Christ until He comes again. As we come together as family at this table, it is natural to think about our biological family. Paul refers Timothy to his biological ancestors and the faith they passed to him. As a parent and grandparent, I wish my biological family were physically here with me today around this piece of wood. However, I take solace in the fact that the faith I passed on to my children is, as Paul says, living in them with the help of the Holy Spirit. They have the faith that has been entrusted to them through the biological family and through the family of faith. This faith that has come down to us through our family makes a difference in how we live. As Paul says it, For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Paul recognizes that suffering will come, but we have the strength to respond to our circumstances when we rely on the power of God who saved us. God gives us not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. This spirit was modeled by Paul for Timothy, is modeled by parents and grandparents, and is modeled in church families. Furthermore, Paul tells us that Jesus came to abolish death and bring eternity and immortality to light through the gospel. This is an extremely important statement. Some would limit the actions of Christ to the cross, but we have an empty cross. Yes, Christ died on the cross and effectively atoned for our sins, allowing us the opportunity for full restoration of our relationship with God. However, as we symbolize with the empty cross, Jesus rose again from the dead, conquering death. Jesus ushered in a new age through his life, death, and resurrection, assuring us of more than atonement, assuring us of eternal life with God. That glorious message is entrusted to us. What a weighty responsibility. We have a message from God. We are heralds from the King with a message of reprieve and new life. How can we possibly carry out this responsibility? Thankfully, with the responsibility comes the power to carry it out. Paul tells Timothy that he prays for him. Like Paul, we support each other through the power of prayer. We lift each other up in the presence of God, asking that we might be ever mindful of the trust God has placed in us and the gifts God has given us to carry out that trust. In worship and corporate prayer, we remind each other of our responsibilities, of the forgiveness we receive when we fall short, of the grace that is ever available and ever sufficient, and of the power of God that is ever with us, helping us live in a difficult and challenging world. Paul closes his opening admonition to Timothy with words that have become a common memory verse and reminds me of a song I learned in youth group when I was a kid. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says it this way, "For I know the one in whom I've put my trust, and I am sure that he's able to guard until that day what I've entrusted to him." Yes, God is able to guard what we have entrusted to him. But Paul goes even further and tells Timothy and us that it's also up to us to guard what God has entrusted to us. Paul says, quote, "Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us," end quote. Not only do we have a God who can keep our trust, but we have a God who trusts us. We have a God who empowers us to keep that trust. May each of us carry on the family values that have been passed on to us and live like those who trust God and who are trusted by God. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we then come to the table.